fine hairs on his nape lift.
Run!
Ryan and Mildred responded instantly, and lunging rushes for cover on opposite sides of the avenue. Men in business suits, brandishing handguns and auto rifles, pounded toward them from all directions. Ducking behind a 4-foot-high office building, Ryan held out his Walther MPL. Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan glimpsed a shadowy shape. He saw the man running toward him between two buildings. Ryan sprang away from the office building. Only one man was out in the open, about 30 feet away. He was holding a small skeletal weapon Ryan recognized as a SIG AMT auto carbine. He seemed to be having difficulty with its breech system. The man saw him and swung the 18-inch barrel in a semicircle, trying to catch up with Ryan's sidewise lunge. Reaching the cover, Ryan drew the SIG Sauer and put it next to him while he popped a fresh clip into the MPL. He didn't see Mildred, so he thumbed the transmit stud on the transceiver in his pocket.
Mildred, where are you?
About 40 feet to your right. You made a head count yet?
Not yet. You?
Rough estimate. I think there's about 15 of the opposition, not counting any you put down.
As far as I know, I've accounted for two.
A man jumped from cover a dozen yards to his left.
Make that three. What's your score?
Two definites, two maybes. Make that three definites. Listen, we're already pinned down, and pretty soon we'll be outflanked and outgunned. I think we should split up.
Okay. We can stay in contact with the radios. I'll draw them away from you. Just wait for my next signal.
Acknowledged.
One thing Ryan knew better than anyone else was how to conduct a running gunfight. He leapt from cover and raced through the miniature Washington, D.C.
Here we go! Get it!
He pounded past the Capitol Rotunda and sprang over the Potomac in a single bound. There were four men less than 15 feet away, rising from cover, fumbling to bring their weapons to bear, faces registering astonishment. Ryan didn't slow his pace, but he swerved back and forth, running in a broken field fashion, trying to keep buildings at his back and sides at all times. Without aiming, he pointed the Walther MPL behind him. Ryan felt a shock of bullet impact in the muscle of his right shoulder and spun completely off his feet. He looked behind him in the direction from which the shot had come. The man who had shot him confidently exposed himself to check the quality of his marksmanship. Ryan raised his SIG Sauer. Getting to his knees through sheer force of will, Ryan kept low and crawled behind the base of the Washington Monument. The whole right side of his shirt was dark with blood. He seated the earpiece of the headset more securely.
Mildred. Mildred. You there?
Ryan opened his coat and checked the severity of the exit wound. The bullet had passed completely through his shoulder from the back. Under the circumstances, the raw bleeding crater just beneath his collarbone was more unsightly than critical. The bullet hadn't taken much meat and muscle with it, and it had fortunately missed bone. Still, the wound hurt like bottled hell. It throbbed in cadence with his heartbeat. Sensations became rubbery, wavering. His eye remained open. The miniature city blurred and receded in his vision.
He's over there, behind the monument. Frank nailed him.
And he nailed Frank. Let's be exceptionally careful, gentlemen.
Oh, fuck this.
Ryan pulled one of the incendiary grenades from his combat harness, jammed it firmly against the base of the obelisk, and pinched away the pin. He got to his feet and trotted away in a fast backpedal, making sure to keep the replica of the monument between him and the Freezy stalking him. A quartet of gun-wielding men crept around the monument, two to a side. One pair sighted Ryan and raised their weapons. The second pair sighted the metal egg at the base of the tower. Ryan turned and ran as fast as he could down another lane, sprinting low to keep his head down behind the buildings. He noticed blood dripping from his left hand, slicking the butt of the SIG Sauer. Fleur's knife cut on his shoulder blade had reopened, though Mildred's stitches and bandages seemed to be keeping the bleeding to a minimum. He made his way between the buildings until he came to a barrier. Two very ornate, very tall double doors, bound with thick braces of brass, towered over him. Emblazoned in the very center of the doors were two bordered disc-shaped symbols that depicted in gold and black paint an eagle with outstretched wings. One clawed talon gripped a sheaf of arrows, and the other held what looked like sharp-pointed missiles. He recognized the images as altered versions of the Great Seal of the United States. There was an inscription printed inside the borders of the discs. Novus Ordo Seclorum.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Ryan pushed against one of the tall doors with a shoulder. He stepped over the dim threshold and stood there, surveying the gloomy interior of the big, high-ceilinged room. It was about 60 feet long, lined on three sides with bookshelves to the ceiling. There were comfortable armchairs, upholstered in red leather, scattered about, and a huge globe of the earth stood in one corner. At first glance, the room appeared to be a combined library and office. The carpet was a medium blue, and a replica of the seals emblazoned on the doors was embroidered in thick gold thread. The lighting from shaded lamps was subdued. The only odd feature was a fireplace, logs glowing cheerily on the hearth. An immense circular desk dominated the fourth wall. It was strewn with papers. Blinking in the semi-gloom, Ryan saw a man sitting at the desk. He was as motionless as a statue, not even reacting when the huge door had opened and closed. He was dressed all in black, with a thatch of cropped white hair and a neatly trimmed gray mustache. His deep-set, slitted eyes and shadowed sockets were without movement or the spark of life. Ryan stared at him, not speaking, a little demoralized by the hush and vastness of the room. The man stared back. Finally, Ryan raised both weapons.
To your feet. Hands where I can see them. Quick!
The man complied, smoothly. Ryan started to step toward him. Suddenly, the wall on Ryan's left seemed to explode like a grenade. Splintery fragments flew in every direction, and something clipped him a stunning blow on the left temple. The whole side of his head went numb, and he reeled drunkenly, lurching to one knee. He stopped himself from falling, but he dropped the Sig Sauer in the process. Ryan brought up the Walther MPL, lifting his head, searching for a target, tasting the coppery salt of blood at the corner of his mouth. He felt it crawling down the side of his face. Something heavy and metallic swung down from his right side, smashing across his wrist. Ryan sprang to his feet, reaching for his Panga, and found himself face to face with Doug. Behind him, he saw a man-sized recess between the bookcases. Doug held a sawed-off Browning B-80 auto shotgun. The shot had blasted a hole in the wall next to Ryan's head, and he had caught the spray of splinters. The one-eyed man wiped his face on a coat sleeve and slowly dropped his hands to his sides. Doug stared at him impassively.
You asked about the commander's location. You found it.
Come here.
Ryan did as he was told, measuring each step as he approached the man by the desk. He didn't seem to have much choice with Doug behind him. He noticed as he passed it that the fireplace was a fake, colored light shining through molded plastic logs, strictly a decorative item. It cast no heat at all. Facing the commander across the desk, Ryan got a better look at him. He wasn't particularly tall, but his shoulders were very broad. His chin was squared, his jawline blocky. His eyes were a pale gray, like chunks of old ice. Thickish brows rose outward from twin creases above a hooked nose, and his short white hair grew down from high temples to a point on his forehead. He had unnaturally smooth white skin, with very few lines or wrinkles.
Who are you?
Ryan Carter.
A citizen of Hellskell?
No. I came from there, though. Against my will.
Doug tells me you have a companion. A woman.
Yes.
How did you get in here?
The nose.
Ah, of course. An unforgivable security oversight on the part of my aides. It has always been so. Why are you here?
It's about your relics, your artifacts.
Indeed. What about them?
Lars Hellstrom wants them all to himself.
I am aware of that. Why did he send emissaries such as you and your companion? Are you negotiators, or are you assassins?
Hellstrom feels that you should share more of your bounty, and not hoard it all up here.
No, impossible.
I'll convey that message to him, then.
No, I'm afraid that's impossible, too. Your friends at Hellskell will never receive word of the goings-on in this office, not during my administration. You anarchist scum. You filth. You maggot. How dare you profane the sanctity of this high office with your person? I've dealt with prying busybodies like you before.
Look, I mean you no harm. I've nothing but admiration for you and your high office.
Perhaps I've been a trifle hasty. I am curious as to why Lars Hellstrom took such extreme measures to alter the terms.